Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
I was born in the rain on the Ponza train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben. Minus Marcus Maben. So it's Middays. Steve Rummage in here. Coach Lieberman. Mark Lieberman in here. Chase. Producer Chase in the building. It's good to have you, man. You were in Florida last week, right?
And Last week.
Yeah.
Short week. And
then you've just been doing so many camps, and I just feel like I haven't got to see you a lot.
I know.
Well, I haven't seen you in ages, Chase.
Yeah.
I know. I've been I'm still running around.
Just busy, man. Yeah, you're just busy all the time.
Yeah.
When you guys always say Florida, it's always different for me because you're always, in the northern part or Destin or
yeah, around
or
Destin.
Right. To me, that's South Florida. Like when I told you I was going to Florida and you were not.
No.
Because we've kind of made our handshake agreement about visiting Star Wars and Orlando together. Mm-hmm. But to me... It's South Florida. That's always what Florida means.
I'm kind of that way now, too. We used to always do PCB, which we still do every once in a while. But here's the thing. It's a 9-hour drive to PCB. It's a hour and 45-minute flight to Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood Beach.
Correct.
So we do Hollywood Beach more now.
That's my groove.
That's kind of taken our... and we found Hollywood Beach by accident. We stayed the week at the Hard Rock in Fort Lauderdale, which was awesome.
As did I.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that place. Yes. Well, at the end, there was a snowstorm hit back here. This was just not last year, but the year before, that real bad snowstorm hit. So our flight got canceled. So we were like, dang. Well, the charity's uncle we were with, his now fiance. Luckily, her dad had points and was like, hey, look, I'll get you on the Marriott. It's on Hollywood Beach. We're like, okay, we've never been there.
That one is fantastic.
Fell in love with it.
And you go right to they got a great pool, and you walk right out, and you're on the beach.
Yep, you walk right out. There's that little separation, like that little boardwalk.
Yes.
And then you're right across.
Great restaurants right there.
Yes. Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, that's where I stay.
Okay.
Also.
Yeah. Well, that's the only place we stay now down there. It's that Marriott right there.
That's my go-to as well.
We love
Hard Rock.
Love it. So we walk down to Margaritaville, so and there's just a bunch of old high people. It's kind of hippie-ish if you go in the off season, which I was fine. I was like, whatever, it's cool, man. Everybody's chill though. They're just having a great time. It was like, but yeah, man, it was kind of like that. So now it's hard for me to drive 9 hours to Panama City. Now he flew to Destin, which is the way to do it, man. Yes. Fly there and then just Uber over.
It's like an hour. Yeah.
How much was the Uber?
Oh, the Uber. Well, so luckily, so I was with some family. Like I went with my grandma. Like flew down with her. Well. Everybody else drives their cars because we got to bring a bunch of stuff down for the family vacation. But we Ubered six people. It cost $60, and I tipped pretty nice.
Yeah, same, I do
45 minute.
Yeah, drive. I would too.
So,
I would leave
you know,
nice.
It was about $80 total.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. So, I was gonna say I would leave him $20-$30 yeah. for that long of a trip for
yeah,
sure.
Which my grandma would not allow me to pay for, even though she paid for the whole.
Of course. Of course. That's grandma's. Steve's high class since he started flying. Now his PCB people are below him. Funny. I still love my PCB, but it's like, gosh, man, it's just sometimes I don't want to do the drive, so I'm like, I just fly to Hollywood.
It's a great
Uber
spot.
Ride from Fort, well, fly to Fort Lauderdale.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, it's a great spot, man. Yeah, we drove down to Miami when we were there. We drove down to Miami. Miami was a little different.
Depends where you're going.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know my way around, mm-hmm. so me and Charity we just were like, let's go see Miami. Because we're this close, we've never been to Miami. It's like, yes. man, it's literally a 25-minute, 30-minute drive. So we drive to Miami, and
no, it's.
I think I was in Cuba. I was like, this is.
You were probably in Little Havana, which yeah. is like the little spot there as well.
Yeah,
very just always plug in.
Kind of Haitian, kind of yeah, Cuban. I was like.
There's, yes, it's very, go either to Miami Shores, Aventura, or punch in the News Cafe on South Beach.
Okay.
And that's a great little spot.
We did have Versace Mansion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not far from the News Cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
When we were at FIU, we signed all our players. Okay. The last spot was the News Cafe on South Beach. And
okay.
that was always the go-to.
That's what's
and
up,
that's
yeah.
That's a nice little spot.
Yeah, I did enjoy. Once we got parked and got over there, I liked that. Like I said, we ate at the Versace Mansion. It was good.
Good.
Yeah, it was like,
pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. So, anyways, love some Florida. Yeah, it's always good.
Do you go in the ocean?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I would right now. Feels like that now it's kind of a hot.
Chase, looks like you want to chime in there.
Yeah.
I was in. I got in. And we were, like, we were decently close to where all those
yeah it was right in that area yeah. Oh, yeah. Right in the Gulf
but yeah I love the ocean.
I do too. I don't go. Here's my problem. You get comfortable, and this is what sucks. Every time I'm like, well, I'm not gonna go very far, you know, because it's like, but then you're like, you get a little more comfortable, and you get a little more comfortable, and you're like, you're so helpless out there. Like,
oh yeah,
if anything flies up, like a shark or anything, like, you're
just like coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, well, yeah, like, all right, here we are, you know, it's like, now we're losing. I'm like, oh, well, that's fine. It's like, no, it's not. It's really yeah. not fine.
I was the guy, like, I was like, my little cousin should be in the water.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'll go get in and I'll be like, all right, I'm fine. I'm going to keep going out. You all don't get in, though.
Right.
You all don't get in. I'm going to get in. And then
yeah.
my mom was like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Get out.
I know.
And rip currents and stuff like that. Yeah.
I love it. I go.
Yeah.
I coaxed Emery into coming into the ocean because she had a little
yeah.
anxiety
yeah, yeah.
about it. But no, it was, she yeah. got in there and she loved it. I probably swim out way too far.
Yeah. See,
as
that,
well.
That's me.
But
like,
I just love it. There's nothing like the feeling of being in the water. It's just it just regenerates you. It feels so good.
I know. Nick wants to know if anybody wants McDonald's. A drink. So, yeah. How about that? Yeah, okay. Ethan Moore says he was around there too in New Smyrna. Yeah, that's like right where it was happening too. Yeah, I love it though. I just love the aesthetics of the ocean. Like I said, just now I'm not a, like, my wife will go down there and she will just camp on the beach, and that'll be like, she could stay there all day,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I like looking at her on the beach. That's fun. But it's like, I don't do that. And I will say, I don't do that. I'm not a let's set up shop beach all day. You know, like, I like to do other stuff, but I'm a good couple hours, you know, like, hey, I go a couple hours. I like to get in the ocean, throw some football, you know, hit the waves,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? All that good stuff. Now, I will say, with my kids, I am very, like, get back. Like, you're not allowed to go past me, you know, like, type stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's a blast. Yeah.
Well, that's what the Hollywood Marriott's so perfect for.
Oh, yeah.
You got, just go right back to the pool, the ocean pool. Ocean.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, I just love being down there. Yeah, that's great.
I didn't know that. Look at you.
Yeah, that's
You've
a cheap one. Now, that's where you'll win Charity over.
Yeah.
Now, Charity loves Disney. She's a big-time Disney fan. But if you tell her you're a Hollywood Beach guy, too, she's going to be like, see, she's convinced now that Lieberman is a female because she's not met Lieberman yet. And I'm always like, hey, I'm going to meet Lieberman for dinner. You know, hey, I'm talking to Lieberman.
Giggling and smiling as you're texting me like midnight.
She's like, oh, is Lieberman calling again? I'm like, yeah.
Well, she already did friend request me, as I told you. So now she knows I'm a real human being.
She's like, oh, you went as far as to create a fake Facebook? Yeah. Anyways, though, back to the stuff. Yeah, it's like, chill out, girl. God bless. Just coach. You know, so anyways, we're having fun. it's all fun.
Summer.
Hey, it's great times, right? Everybody's having a good time. So yeah, whatever it is. Well, we'll get back into it a little bit. We've talked a little TBT, which is going to be coming up. We've talked a little video. I thought you had a great breakdown kind of getting back to that, just of the bigs and everything and kind of how sports are changing in that. We did hear from Jeff Brohm yesterday, which was good. Did you get to hear Jeff Brohm? Chase? Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, no, we listened to a few clips.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was going to say. Biggest thing for you right off the top of your head?
Obviously, when he talked about Pierce Clarkson,
everybody says that.
The two quarterback sets or whatever.
Yeah.
That was fun.
He said possibly three.
Yeah. So I kind of like that.
I think that was everybody's main takeaway, because you love the backup. You know, you love the backup. You got to know backup talk.
Yes.
And it's like, but this year it's a little different because Shuck has an injury history. So I do think that was a big deal to get Pierce. And for some reason, I think that's the most comfortable answer for all of us was, okay, it's Pierce, so Pierce is progressing, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. And I still liked what he said about Brady Allen. He said he's a smart, you know, he's a really smart player. What I got out of it is that he just needs to learn how to let it fly, because Brohm said that he's really smart. He needs to learn how to, you know, kind of, I guess, act some of the things that he's reading in his head.
Yeah.
I also liked he said vertical. He wants to throw the ball vertical.
Yeah, I did. I kind of laughed at that question. He was Mr. Bozich, I think, which I love Mr. Bozich. but he was like, you know, how important is throwing vertical? I was like, well, yeah, it's pretty important, right? Like, he's like, yeah. But he did, and that backs up what Oscar Brohm said with Drew a couple weeks ago, too, just that, like, hey, this dude can, speaking of Tyler Shuck, can really sling it. Which is what you want to hear, which is what we felt like at times we couldn't do last year. Not that Jack couldn't get the ball there, but that I felt like Jeff was gun shy on calling those plays. So now that'll be, you know, the one thing I liked, man, is just the interior. Now, I'm obviously a beef guy, you know, but like beefy guy.
Yeah. You respect, you understand that games are won in the trenches, and you need those guys.
Yeah, like I want that in the middle. And he did seem very excited about his interior defensive line. So, which I had to look up. He said a name. He was like Renee Conga. And I was like, what the heck is that? And it's funny because in this era now, you really do. I used to always bust Drew over not knowing the roster. You know, like, oh, not knowing the roster. But not knowing the names, you know, or whatever. But now he's right. Because, like, Marcus looks him up and he's like, man, you know, this guy had all this money. He's like, oh, the Rutgers transfer. And I was like, oh, I remember getting him. But even in basketball, man, like, it's so weird now that you almost know people that way. Like, if I said, oh, you know, Corin Johnson, you know, some people be like, Corin Johnson. If I said, oh, the Washington kid, you're like, oh, yeah, the Washington kid. Yeah, I know right off the bat. You know, like, you know people by that now.
Well, that's part of it. And Coach Brohm talked about what was something that that is still a concern was, like, he doesn't know his roster until, the end of May. And that's always in flux, which is, it's adapting, and he's embracing it's now become.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. But to now know where players are set and so on is not easy.
No, absolutely not. Standpoint. Yeah, it's just a whole different. That's why, I mean, kind of going flipping back and forth a little bit. That's why I think it's so impressive what Coach Kelsey did to get that roster. I mean, I said it. I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about me. I don't know what just came out of me, but it was terrible. I said, hey, man, if we get to June 1st and we've got eight solid dudes, I'm going to be through the roof. 13, 12, you know, like I think 12 is what we had, you know, and it's like, that is insanely, and I mean, I see it from just such a small point of view in high school of just what it takes to, you know, you're talking to players, you're doing this back and forth, you know, you're seeing, okay, this kid's not going to stay here anymore, you know, or whatever, and or even at Holy Cross, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's on such a smaller spectrum of, like, now go national, and you're saying, okay, I've got to put together a whole roster from scratch. And to put it together, I mean, that's gaining trust in the offseason. And, like, Louisville fans, that's a big thing for us. We've got to gain your trust. And he's gained a ton of it in the offseason.
Gosh. Look, the old term, hit the ground, like, he attacked. We talk about this as a coaching staff, wherever I've been, I was always like, you need to attack recruiting. It's not something that, you know, you're waiting on things to fall your way. You've got to be attacking the process and understand that. And what he's done, and when you had, he brought some guys with him that he's comfortable with, so that that makes it easier, even from a coaching standpoint, about who you're recruiting, what style of players you're looking for.
Yep.
But to get as many talented guys as they did,
and oh my gosh,
is amazing.
Yeah,
and now to get them to gel is
how much did y'all look at the portal when you were? Which it's funny because they're like back in the old days. It feels like
it's crazy. Like
I mean, but
at FIU,
we were there in 2012.
Yeah, when we were here, when I was at Louisville, not much. I mean, Luke was the guy that came in, obviously.
But did that more like, did portal more develop after, not portal, but transfers, like more after the season?
Yeah, that was something. Some guys would leave at Christmas, but, and then you'd always, it was so different. And to almost hark back to those times, when we were, when Richard Pitino and I went to FIU, that's all, we were just looking at transfers and looking at junior college kids and so on, because we had to put a roster together. But that was out of necessity. Like, this is now, this is how you create your team. This is a positive that you have the ability to bring in guys that can fill needs. So it's completely different. It's completely different.
I remember it was, were you there? I remember I was really excited about Dorian Finney-Smith. Do you remember him?
Sure.
And
do.
Like, I think everybody thought he was going to come to Louisville. I think he ended up at Virginia Tech. Is where he come from, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't know. But, like, it always felt like a transfer. Maybe after the season, you would hear of a name.
And Coach Pitino wasn't big on that.
Yeah.
He wanted guys that he would recruit because to play for him to come in as a young player, it was. But guess what? Now, what's he doing? He's just.
Oh, yeah, no, he's crushing it up there. I mean, I saw, like, Bart Torvik or whatever has which I don't know how you really put numbers on it at this point, but they had St. John's 15th. I mean, going into – I'm mad at him right now, though, so
we'll I know you are, so we won't.
I'm not mad at him.
You are.
I still
and that's
love
okay.
You. I'm just
– You're allowed to be mad at him.
I'm hurt.
Still, right.
Yeah, I'm hurt.
I understand. It's been kind of interesting, let's put it that way.
I'm like, I talked to you. We talked. We had fun. At the Alexander in Indianapolis. Our moment. we drank together.
But Reese Gaines surpassed him on your list.
Oh, yeah. Reese is way up there, man. That's my guy. But, yeah, it's so odd now that almost is, like, back then it was almost like tampering would have been so blatant.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's like you can't stop tampering.
No.
Like, tampering's happening.
Because you have their travel coaches, you have their you've recruited them. There's other back channels and so
on.
It happens and everybody knows.
And guys are going power five to power five now so much more. Like, it's nobody thinks anything if Luke Hancock goes to Louisville. You're like, well, yeah, George Mason to Louisville, of course, you know. But now there's so much like power five to power that was so rare. Like, and again, I feel like I'm talking about the old days. Like, I'm talking
crazy,
less than 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like it was so rare to see a big time power five to power five transfer that was like, you know, a big, big time name. I mean, even Marvin Stone, like, that was such a big deal because it was Kentucky to Louisville.
Right.
But I mean, even Marvin Stone was like, wasn't like one of the top, you know, players, and God rest his soul. I mean, but like, in the world, you know. But I mean, you now, I mean, you're the top guys. You can almost guarantee they're going to either play in the NBA or they're going to play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Like every year, it changed so much of what. Look, when you're recruiting now,
yeah,
it's your you could talk NILs, mm-hmm. you could talk. It's just such a different what we had to do.
Yeah.
To recruit players back then and adhere to certain things, and now it's completely different, and that's it. Adapt or
crazy.
It's gonna be tough for you.
Just crazy. We got our guy Doc again. Let him in here then. Yeah, look, he can jump in here anytime he wants. He knows that. Doc, what's up, man?
So listening to you all talking about putting a roster together nowadays.
Yeah.
How much is it just the same as being at the playground where it's going to be, you know, winners up? And, you know, if you have first pick, you get to put your roster together and a guy can say, nah, I want to be – I'll sit this one out. I want to be on a team that's going to stay on the court instead of having to sit out and wait. And it's, you know, just picking who's available and who's willing to play with you. No difference in a playground to building up your team when you're trying to stay on the court.
Yeah, no, Doc, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, and he's right. I mean, that's kind of what you're doing. I mean, you're looking and you're saying you're essentially picking your team.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I think at every level now.
It's not a bad analogy, actually.
I think you've got, if this team, it used to be the anomaly where the Miami Heat with putting together Wade, Bosch, and LeBron. Now it's like, okay, I want to play with good players. And you can.
Sure.
I think it's happening at every level.
Oh, absolutely.
It's at the high school level as well, where, hey, I want to be with some good teammates.
Yeah, who do you have?
Have a chance to
Who do you have? That. Thank you, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Sorry you had such a late night last night.
And where's mine? Nick just brought in some beverages. And Steve's got like 3 or 4 beverages in front of him, and I've...
Did you want something?
I just thought we had that kind of Jedi mind... type of melt.
Well, Nick was up at the late hour of 11 o'clock last night.
It was like midnight. He was like, I got home, but
I'm just going off work.
Boy needed a morning.
It was 11. I was like, Nick, it's 11, dude.
I think I'm going to pivot back. I think Doc was spot on as far as how that goes, though.
Thank you, Nick, for the soda. You always know how to win me back over.
I think players are looking, okay, I have the option now that, I want to stay on. I can pick and choose. It's not like, I have to be with these 5 guys.
Good players want to play with good players.
Sure.
I think that's the biggest myth in the world is that, if you get too many good players, you won't be able to get more good players. I disagree with that. Now, money-wise throws a little wrench into it because if you've got a budget, then, of course, you've got to work with that. But good players would rather play with good players.
I've always said this, and this is it's not easy as a coach. You can never have too many good players. Never.
Right.
You can have too many egos. And if you don't define roles from day one and you don't establish that and you're not if you need to be honest, you need to tell players what they need to hear.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're going to be, hey, it might not be this year for you, or this is the role you're going to have. This is still something you can carve out and still have a niche and be a pro one day. But you got to be honest and you've got to understand that. To relay that to your players and communicate.
Absolutely.
Because you can never have too many good players.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's a fact. I got a question for you. This is so random, and this is so summertime.
Okay.
But so random before I get... Did you guys know how mad we were at you after that South Florida game in 2012? Like, could you feel it? Could you palpable feel it? Like we hated you?
It doesn't matter how mad you were. It doesn't matter how you felt.
Do you know what game we're talking about?
I do.
Okay.
Because it was senior night.
Yeah,
and I was in the locker room for 2.5 hours, then in the a coach's meeting for 3.5 hours. So I don't care how you felt. It cannot equate to how you felt, how I was feeling that entire couple of days. So
okay.
Yes,
because we lost
senior night. Yes.
Yeah, no, it was the most angry I've ever been.
Yes.
Like that's kind of the first time that I could feel.
Might have been my scout too, but I don't know. I'm gonna brush that out of my.
Soul.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't know.
God,
it wasn't.
We're not gonna win a game at Holy Cross.
It wasn't.
We shot 34% from the field,
though. Dude. We 22%. Were so bad that game, and I remember going
Final Four, baby.
I know, but that's of course I was getting to that, but like then we go and we play Syracuse, and I remember sitting there and I'm talking to my now wife, and I'm going, they're gonna go to the. I said they're gonna go to the Big East tournament. They're gonna lose to Seton Hall, and they're not gonna make the tournament. like I was like that. This is trash. Like I was so angry at that team down the stretch because I was like, this team is too good. Too much talent, you know. Of course, you're in that. Of course, you don't know what's going on in practice. You don't know the whatever's happening. You know why there's situations or whatever that are the way they are. But I'm like, this team is too talented. It's like they're going to lose to Seton Hall and they're done. And then they go on and they beat Seton Hall. It's just in the wildest run of all time. Mm-hmm. Win the Big East tournament. You get put in the perfect, you know, it's like you go shut down in Draymond Green's career.
You know? It wasn't though, like you know. The first matchup was Davidson.
Yes.
That scared the bejeebus out of all of us. Like, that was, especially after the year before. And we're like, and that was a nip and tuck game. It wasn't like we separated ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, I think we ended up winning by like almost 10 or right around that. But it was like we got not control till late, the end. Yeah.
But after that, we knew we get, it's like anything else. You get that first game. Yeah. And you, we just
was
felt.
That, was it like New Mexico? New Mexico State? Yeah, the next game was like weird.
With Tony Snell and then...
Gordon. Did they have Gordon at the time? Or was that after?
I think it was after.
Didn't they have Gordon's brother? Like Aaron Gordon's brother?
They might have. I know Tony Snell was their big guy.
I knew Tony Snell. Yeah. Maybe that wasn't. Maybe it was.
They run a lot of rip action for him and we took that away.
Yeah.
So, but...
naturally.
And then we just then beaten. I remember when Bradley Beal just came down the floor and just hit that first jump shot, and we're like, "Oh, we're done."
It's my favorite game.
Yeah,
we're done. It's my favorite Louisville game. I've never had a game where, do you know, in that game, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. Elite Eight, Florida. I quit. Patrick Young, because I knew y'all was gonna kill Florida going into the game. I was like, "We're gonna kill Florida." Yeah, really? I was like, we're going to annihilate Florida. I felt that because I was like,
they were loathed.
Yeah, but they were guard heavy. I mean, Patrick Young,
he was
tough. But I was like, we're going to man them up. We are going to just annihilate them. We start watching the game. I'm like, oh, we're cool. We're going zone. I was like, oh, cool. Look at that. Oh, wow, man, that's great. Yeah, they're hitting a couple shots. Like, it's all good, though. We'll get out of it, you know? And it's like, oh, here we're down 10. Well, then we get in the second half, and I'm like, well, now it don't matter what we do. Like, I know y'all were confident in changes that were made, but as a fan,
No, we weren't.
I was like, nobody it doesn't was. Matter. I was like, because now they're hot. So Patrick Young has a dunk, puts them up 10. It's like 7 minutes left. I get so mad. Mm-hmm. I started. It's insane. I got so mad. I go over and start scrubbing dishes. I started washing dishes.
Being in Moneyball.
I went insane. I literally went insane. I start scrubbing dishes because I'm like, they blew it. They freaking blew it. You know, it's like this was as a fan, I know it sounds crazy to a college coach, but I'm like, as a fan, I'm like, it's a freaking walk-in Elite Eight game. It's like, you know, because, of course, I'm always more scared of the Big East teams. So I was like, man, Marquette wants us. Like, God, that's going to be a tough one, you know. And that Marquette team was good. Like, they had Jimmy Butler.
Jay Crowder.
The team was stacked. So I was like, God, you know. So when Florida wins, I'm like, we're going to kill them. So, they had Kenny Boynton. They had Irving Walker, Patrick Young. Mm-hmm. Who's the white kid that Shane tore up there at Murphy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. He just went at. So I'll never forget.
No, great shot.
Yes. Yeah. Russ hits a three in the corner. And like, I've gave up on the game. Like, I'm watching it, but like, my mind's not comprehending the game. And Russ hits a three. And I remember going, are we only down two? And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was the weirdest. It's almost like my soul left my body. And my body was still watching the game, but my soul wasn't comprehending what was happening. And I'll never forget, like, it was like the realization that, oh my God, we just cut this game to two. And then I get into it, and then, of course, Russ goes down. Peyton fouls out. Russ throws the ball away. I'm like, okay, the world's ended. Luckily, Bradley Beal travels. You know, that game, it's just, I've never had a game where I was like, they lost. And then they win. And I'm like, I'm trying to convince myself at the end of that game, I'm like, no, they lost. But we won. That's just my favorite game.
You have no idea how similar that is to what happened. I was 11, and I gave up. I gave up on the game. I was like, I went outside. I started shooting basketball.
Yeah.
Like, and when they cut it down, my dad, he texted me because he'll never let me live this down. He's like, I don't know what you're doing, but we're probably going to win this game.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? We were down 10. There's no way. We look flat. Like, yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, I know.
And he's like, no, you better come inside.
And there wasn't even the trust with that team was the problem. Like, in 05, there was this weird trust with that team that even though West Virginia was, like, going insane, you know, Pitsnoggle and those guys are hitting everything, we were like, this team's never dead. Like, you know, with Francisco and Taquan and all them, it was like, this team's never dead. So, like, even though that was, like, probably even more improbable that we won that game with the way West Virginia shot, it was still like, but with this team, they were on a run, and I'm just like, okay, now they're dead. Now they're dead. They did what they could do, and now they're dead. You know, like, look, now I'm like, the Big East sucks. It's the only reason they won that. Yeah, like, I'm cursing everything, you know, because that's how angry I am. And, yeah, it's just, it was the best. It was the best game.
You talk about also a game within a game. We spent so much time, especially with Gorgie as a big, of stunting and jabbing at the ball. You talked about a travel. We caused a turnover because that was something we would do every day, and I'm a big believer in not having your bigs help up.
Oh yeah.
And he was in a boxer stance and stunted and jabbed, and it caused the turnover.
Yeah.
And those little things are just, those are things I remember. I can't remember as detailed as you were on that game.
Yeah.
Because I remember losses, all the details from losses.
Of course.
But I remember how many times Gorgie and I and all the coaches, like, we'd work on those type of things.
Yeah.
And then after the game, that's something we just talked about. Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just, all the little things that the time you put in, that's why.
When and the tournament, you probably got to move on so fast.
Right? Too. And you're just meticulous. But that's something we would do throughout the year.
Yeah, yeah,
and so,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
those type of things, you remember that, and it's like, you're flooded with those memories because you put that time in, and just one look, you're doing those things constantly, and it shows up and it affects a game.
Yes.
It affects winning. So.
I remember Wayne being on the line there at the end, and I was like, for the love of God, Wayne, just one. We just need one in this game, because I was like, if you miss both of these, they're going to hit a three.
Right.
And we go to overtime, we're dead. No Siva. No, yeah. It was like, let's grab these two calls real quick. Adrian, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Steve?
What up, man?
Hey, one of my memories of the game, I was living in California when they played Michigan State, man, and had Magic Johnson in the stands and everything. I thought we had that game with Draymond and them.
Yeah.
But another thing, to change the subject, you know, you like that peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A?
Oh, yes. I love it. Love it.
You gotta try the Picnic Peach Cobbler Blizzard from Dairy Queen.
Oh.
You got to try it. It's legit.
Steve,
man,
is salivating as
listen,
you're speaking.
I've drove past that one, but because I didn't believe in it. So the fact that somebody now has vouched for it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, you got it's legit.
I might get that today. Adrian, appreciate you, man.
What was the score of, was it like, 18-16 at the half against Michigan State?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I remember Tom Izzo was like, I mean, Gorgie Jang hit a three. Like, Tom Izzo was a little dismissive. That's when I was like,
I think Swapshire hit a three.
Yeah, Swap hit one. Yeah. Actually, Swap hit two.
Scored.
And then Gorgie hits the one at the top of the key. And just how dismissive Izzo was at halftime, I was like, we're going to beat them. Because he was, you could tell Izzo was a little bit like, I'm comfortable. Because, like, that Gorgie hit a three, and I'm like, no, I think
them.
We got you. Yeah.
Golly. I love that game.
They run, like, 78 sets.
Yeah.
And you have to prep. Like, it's crazy.
Well, and we switched off with Izzo. Tino and Izzo, they would always go 1-1, 1-1, right. And that was our time to win. Yeah. That's crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, God, they just – you guys, that was one of the best executed games. Like, that was one where, like, we looked at the coaching staff as fans. It was just like, it was incredible. Yeah, like, well done. Yeah.
Draymond would always take, I told you this before, would always take two dribbles left and then spin. And so we caught him one time with a turnover because we always knew he was never going to go more than two dribbles to his left. And there's just things you just try and find.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
He was so pissed off that game, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was so
I mean, because Russ was just.
Yeah.
What a pest.
Everywhere around him. Yeah. Yes. You could tell Russ just pissed him off. Just. Mm-hmm. Not that Russ was doing anything illegal. It's just you're always there, you know, and as a big. That's so annoying when it's like, dude, get away. Like,
especially when you have the ball that much.
Yes, and Draymond, how much time. It ran through Draymond, man. Mm-hmm. You could tell when he got frustrated, it was like, okay, there.
Yeah, we wanted to crowd him and make him uncomfortable
and
just not let him be comfortable in space.
Right, Right.
So that was part of
it. And it's funny because even that year, I don't know why we went down this road. I guess I just went down this road left out of left field. But like even that year, it was funny because even that Kentucky loss, I've never seen Louisville fans more content because they were like, I think Louisville fans, for one, were like, this team's going to win the national championship next year. And two, I think Anthony Davis was so transcendent that Louisville fans aren't stupid. Yikes. And it was like the fact that you come back, tied that game, and then Anthony Davis and Darius Miller, give Darius Miller credit. He was an elder statesman. He comes right down after Peyton hits that three. Darius Miller makes a senior play, gets a bucket that they needed. And then just I think Anthony Davis, I think even Louisville fans are just like, you know, it's like, I mean, he's incredible. I don't know what to say. Any team in that Final Four had him, they would have won the national title.
I might not disagree with you on that.
Yeah.
He was that dominant,
I know,
as a player. There's just, he could do everything.
I think Ohio State would have won. I think Kansas would have won. I think Louisville would have won if they'd had him.
He could do
those three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how good he was. So, yeah, it was. Here we get Reggie, and then we'll keep you on schedule real quick to take a last break. Reggie, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, Steve. Hey, what's up, fellas? Man, it's funny that you said about that Florida game, because I remember it like it was yesterday. Man, I was at work. I was working for airline. I'm under the plane loading bags and got the phone on the game. I'm jumping up and down. People's on the plane like, oh, my God, the plane's shaking. I'm like, let's go. Let's go.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. Yeah.
So I'm like, man, then we got a 3-hour break. I said, oh, man, I'm going to Broadway. I'm with the old party.
Yeah.
And then another one you said was the West Virginia game. I was in ninth grade, and my mother lived in an apartment, and we coming back. I'm just jumping up and down, and my neighbor under us just, she's hitting the floor with the broom. Like, hey, calm down. I'm like, oh, what's playing? Shut up.
It's so, you know, it's so, Reggie, appreciate the call, man. It's so odd in the games that you remember, like, how you were, because, like, the next year in 2013, I was not nervous against Michigan at all, even when we were down. I was like, get it within 10 and we'll be fine. Of course, when we cut it to whatever we did. But Wichita, it was like, God, they might have something here. You know, like when they were up and you're like, dude, this is like just why. And I guess that's the burden of being such a smart fan base, that you can watch games and you're like this Michigan game, man. Like you're watching how it's happening and you're like, I think we got this. Like I think we're fine. If as long, because I remember telling my buddy, I was like, get it under 10. We're okay. Yeah. Like this team. But man, that Wichita game, like it felt like they might have something here. Which is funny because Tim Henderson, do you know, you realize he hit, now you weren't on the staff, obviously, at this point, right?
Right, we were
going
FIU.
To FIU, or you were at FIU. FIU, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Richard was about to get Minnesota.
Right.
Right, at that time, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're there, and it was like, Tim Henderson hits those threes. In my mind, he hits those threes with 2 minutes left. You know what I'm saying? Like, you totally forget. You're like, no, we were down. You know, like, we were down 15 with 2 minutes left. It's like, no, he hit those threes like 13, 14 minutes left in the mm-hmm. second half. It's just, it's funny
and
how
then Luke came in. And
yeah, just how nervous, though, your nerves in some games are the way they are. You know, it's like, oh, man, yeah, it's just crazy.
That was one where I was like, that loss would have hurt me deeply. Like, that one would have been.
Well, that would have been like my 2014. Sweet 16 game against Kentucky, it broke me.
Yeah.
There's a little piece of me that's never recovered from that. It's never recovered from that because we were better than them. Should have won that game.
Last year's U of L UK football game might be.
That one kind of hurt, but it's like, they were so jacked and they were so established and they wanted Brohm so bad that I'm kind of like, and we turned the ball over a couple times. It was like, okay, it's kind of an anomaly. Like, Brohm's going to kick your butt going forward. That Sweet 16 game, though, Rick had never lost in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
We were better. Like, I took a Kentucky fan. That's how sure I was. I was like, we're going to win this game. Like, and I was never confident when we played Kentucky. I was confident. I was like, we are going to beat Kentucky in this game. And we come out, we jump up like 18-5. I'm like, I knew. We're just mm-hmm. better. And that just broke me, man. That's the only game I've ever felt like the officials really cost this game. Like, actually cost me the game. Like, I feel like you're what's the word I'm looking for? Not stupidness. I don't know, whatever it was. So I'm like,
ignorance.
You blew this game. It's just terrible.
Incompetence.
Incompetence. Your incompetence. That's what I wanted to say. Just cost us this game. I mean, it's just terrible. And Russ started missing free throws, and it's just a lot of stuff has happened. Our guys, you fouled three big men out, and our other big, we had four big men that year. Three of them fouled out. The other one had four. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on now. Like, and then like Andrew Harrison steps out of bounds, a whole foot out of bounds, throws it around to James Young, who then hits a three that sparks their run. It's like, no, we guided him out of bounds. I watched Luke before the game. Luke hits 22 straight threes. 22 straight threes before the game. I'm like, Luke's hot. I'm telling my buddies, Kentucky fan, I'm like, Luke's hot. You are in trouble. Like, if Luke doesn't pick up two fouls just like that, boom, get him out the game. He comes in the second half. Boom, goes baseline, punches on him. He's feeling it. Picks up third foul. Got to get him out of the game. It's like, and I think Coach P made a little bit of a mistake. He kept Trez in, and they were going to, when he didn't take Trez out with two, he put Trez back in with 3 minutes left, and I was like, they're going to call a foul. It was like, Coach, like, I don't think Coach made a mistake. I think Coach was actually doing the right thing, but it was like, Coach, you're watching how they're calling this game. They're going to call a foul. They are going to call a foul, and as soon as Trez got the ball, Julius Randle, who somehow only committed five fouls that entire tournament, by the way. It's incredible. Julius Randle flops, boop, calls it, third foul, Trez. It's like, okay, y'all are taking this game from us. I will be salty about that one. That one broke me.
That's my big issue with college and high school basketball. Like, it should be six fouls. Mm-hmm. I'm not, why are you?
I agree.
I hate that it's five fouls.
Yeah. Especially now in this era when so many guys are coming back that would be pros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a lot of I mean, look at Louisville's team. I mean, God, Louisville's got five, six guys that have played 5 years of college basketball. They're going into their fifth or sixth year. Like,
yeah, but you got it. You said it. You're at the mercy sometimes of the officials because I believe really good defensive players don't foul. They understand that. But sometimes you're going to get a ticky-tack call. And
now
you're in that situation, and it shouldn't be that your team is affected because of a foul. How many sports do you have that?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you know, Marcus alludes to this too. It's something that's almost like that you never want to admit it, but it does matter. Like it does matter. We'll just combine. Yeah, that, okay. Sorry, I messed. We got to talking, and I messed Chase up on breaks, so that's my fault. So if
took
you guys
a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I know. I could just okay. I just like talking ball with you.
You
man.
Got excited,
and it's the summer it's, right now. We're talking ball.
We've covered a lot.
I would rather talk ball than like what's your favorite burger.
Where's Nick?
I know. Yeah, like real quick. Somebody asked about Gladiator 2.
You mentioned it already.
We haven't watched the trailer yet.
We have not. We're probably, as the show ends, we're going to watch it.
I'm iffy. I'm going to watch the trailer, but I'm very skeptical.
I am too. Again, trailers, how much you can get out of that.
I know, but I'm like, what can you do? Like, some movies don't need a sequel. Maybe this proves me wrong. Maybe this proves me wrong.
Look, we just, Deadpool and Wolverine, it better reignite the entire Marvel franchise.
I got high hopes for that. I think it will.
I hope so.
I think it will.
I mean, those two. I love them.
I think it will. Do you want to take us? Okay, we'll take us real quick. Chris, welcome in, man. What's up?
What's up, Steve, Coach?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Coach, this is JC's dad. He's going to be coaching over in Louisville with you this year. You got a head coaching gig.
Okay.
Oh, great.
How about that?
Play for you, Floyd.
Oh, absolutely. How you doing, Mr. Kennard?
What's up, eh?
You
got a head coaching job over at Eastern. He's going to be over with you this year.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm so happy for him.
Oh, man, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
I know. They're real excited about what they got over there at Eastern, man. So that I'm really happy for that. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've been following him and real proud of him and getting it to be with him for a year. And you know, you and I have talked on many occasions. So I'm really happy for what he's doing in the coaching world. Really proud of him.
Oh, he's killing it. He's got Rondo's son in the summer, so he's loving it.
It works, man.
That's great.
He's going.
Oh, all right. He just wanted you to know.
Appreciate the call.
That's awesome.
That.
Yeah, Chris calls us all the time. He's a good dude.
Yeah, just like hearing Chris. About former players. We talked about that earlier. I just that's what you get out of this experience.
Well, and like I said,
the relationships you build are amazing.
I know a lot of people over there at Eastern, man, and they're really excited, man. They're really excited about what's going on over there. Sofro said, you guys reminded me that Darius Miller ruined both my college and high school senior years. He beat Louisville and Shelby County in the final four each year.
He was one of the Kentucky players that I respected, though. I don't know why.
He's a local guy. Mason County kid. Yeah, you know, he was tough. All right, let me remind you one more time about my friends over at Tri-State Men's Health. Listen, guys, erectile dysfunction is something that happens to a lot of men, okay? So, and here's the thing. It can ruin marriages. It can do things sometimes. Now, here's the problem, though. The reason it can is not because of you. It's because sometimes if you don't talk about it, maybe your spouse, maybe your significant other, you know, is just like, hey, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Well, don't let that be the case. You know, just talk to them. Let them know. And here's the thing. Go try Tri-State Men's Health if that's the case. Okay? Here's the deal. They have over a 90% success rate in dealing with ED. You can take a test dose right there in the office. And if that test dose doesn't work, they won't even charge you for that appointment that day. And then they'll help you try to do something else. Like, it won't be, you know, well, sorry, don't worry, get out of here. They'll try to figure something out and won't even charge you for that visit. So don't be like most men and wait, you know, a year or so too late, you know, or wait until things get too bad, you know, or rather it be with a relationship, or maybe you're not even in a relationship, but it causes you not to want to be because of something like that. Just listen, it's very simple. You can go get this taken care of over there at Tri-State Men's Health. They have locations here in Louisville, Northern Kentucky, up in Ohio, and everywhere. And go check them out. But here's the thing. Tell them you heard about us right here on 93.9 The Ville. We're actually going to be over there at Tri-State Men's Health tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Coach Lieberman is. Myself. Drew's going to be there. Mark Blankenbaker. We're going to be having a lot of fun. And also, tomorrow's the end of the high school dead period. So we get to
start some workouts.
We get to get back into workouts, man. Yes. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm gonna go straight from there over to Holy Cross and get back in. Missing some of that, and get
me too
hands on there and get back in. So I'm excited about that. Chase, appreciate you sitting in with us today.
Yes, sir.
That was fun. Coach, appreciate you, man. I did not know Coach Lieberman was doing Bob's show as well. I feel terrible.
What?
I was like, because me and Chase could have talked. I mean, I would have done, but I mean, it was better because you were here.
Glad I was here.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the talk.
You texted me after you had texted Nick, and I was a go, unlike our buddy.
Yeah, Nicky. Like Nick. Nicky V. Who just bounced on us. Like, yeah, thanks, man. But anyways, hey, this was a good time, guys. Seriously. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Again, we'll be live over at Tri-State Men's Health. Looking forward to it. I think Coach may jump on with me and Marcus both tomorrow for a little bit just to chat it up. So we'll have fun. Middays with Marcus Maben, 93.9 The Ville.